As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go ahead and dive into this offseason. The 2026 Dallas Cowboys schedule's out. We are marching towards OTAs, mini camps. Before you know it, we're going to be out there in Oxnard for training camp. Love of the Star, always brought to you by the one and only on-time experts. Okay, Cowboy fans, it's time to prepare. $99 drain clearing, ground level only. You get a $59 AC deep clean and tune-up for new customers only. Go ahead, book now. Additional call to action. Here's the truth. Dirt, dust, and debris are the number one killers of air conditioners. They're going to clog the coils. They're going to choke that airflow. They're going to strain your system. They're going to lead to costly breakdowns. Go ahead, check out theontimeexperts.com. Schedule that $59 tune-up today. That's theontimeexperts.com. They're going to give that AC a clean bill of health. And it's about to get hot, hot, hot here in the great state of Texas or wherever you might be listening here on Love of the Star. Okay, RJ, so you've been making the rounds throughout the offseason. I know you've been putting in the work like we all have, kind of studying where the Cowboys are from where they ended the season to where they are now with the Christian Parker addition, with the amazing draft that headlined Caleb Downs, Jalen Thompson. My gosh, they actually spent money and signed an outside free agent. RJ, what is going on? How much better are you feeling about the 2026 Cowboys now as opposed to when we said goodbye to the 2025 season?
I love that you included Jalen Thompson because he does feel like the forgotten man. And not only did they spend money, I mean, I mentioned, 2011, that was quite literally the biggest splash they made in free agency since Brandon Carr in 2012. I was going to say, as people well know, but I do think prior to the draft, it felt like people forgot that. I know everybody was antsy about the Max Crosby trade not happening and stuff like that. I loved how you started this and saying that we both try to sort of amplify and embody the spirit of the fan. And I do think that the fan has been quite frustrated for the last 2 years. The 2024 offseason, 2025, that felt like such apathy from the front office. And I do think that bled into the fan culture. And I think that I began this offseason just kind of in a situation of saying, okay, well, show us who you really are. Like, this is it. Like, you no longer have the Mike McCarthy thing hanging over you. You're no longer in Brian Schottenheimer's first season. Like, you've obviously got to find a defensive coordinator. And if I look back, if I trace everything back and go back to where the thread first started, I think the sign of optimism that I didn't recognize at the time was that they were so proactive with Christian Parker. They did not wait out Jim Leonard. If you recall, they hired Christian Parker the week of the AFC Championship game and did not wait out Leonard and the Broncos, obviously being fully out of the playoffs. And at the time, I felt like, okay, cool, you're making a decision. But looking back on it, based on everything that has happened since, that was really making a decision. That was conviction. And that is maybe the core quality that I think has been missing from everything for some time now. And so to say, we don't care about Jim Leonard, we've made our bed, now we want to lie in it. Okay, cool. Now you move on. And I love that they didn't, I don't want to say necessarily revisit the Max Crosby trade, but they said, hey, we made our move. Rashawn Gary was our move. We pivoted. We've got conviction in this. We're going to spend on Jalen Thompson. We're going to go. I also feel badly for Kobe Durant because people were really excited about that signing when it happened. And it feels like he has just become this villain in people's minds. But they made all these moves. And again, I know we've been there. I know we've sang those songs and said the things and been like, oh, they're moving and acting differently. Mm-hmm. And I think objectively they are, even though we have said those things in the past. And to land Caleb Downs on top of it all, I think is just, I don't know. It is one of the more exciting things that people have equated it to Micah Parsons for me, at least from what I've seen. And it is very different to me because the evaluation of Micah, and people do forget this, was as an off-ball linebacker. And there was no thought like, oh man, this dude's going to come in and be this like sack monster. So this feels very reminiscent to me more of CeeDee Lamb than it does Micah Parsons. And so that 2020 offseason, granted there were, abnormalities around the entire world that made it unique, but that offseason was so hopeful and so exciting. I mean, again, those things didn't work out, but the signing of Joe McCoy and Dontari Poe, we really were, taking the chum that was in that water. And this feels similar to that, although I think we all obviously hope it isn't necessarily chum. So relative to where the season ended to where they are now, I think that they are acting like a football team that wants to win a Super Bowl. And I haven't felt that way specifically in a very long time. And so they have relit the candle of hope, even ever so slightly, but within my heart nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And you look at the rest of the NFC, you know, this time, and I think that everybody feels this way now in the NFL, they're looking at it like this time last year, nobody was expecting Seattle and New England to be your right. Super Bowl teams, and Seattle especially to win it. So it does feel like now more than ever in the NFL, it's wide open, and especially in the NFC. I mean, who are the juggernauts in the conference? The Rams, certainly. The 49ers have injury issues every single year, but they're always seem to be a force. And then Seattle, like, for whatever reason, because Sam Darnold's their quarterback, there still does seem to be like, was that a fluke? Was that like a little flash in the pan? Are they going to be able to replicate what they did last year? So the conference does feel very open and winnable. Like for Cowboy fans, I get this pushback all the time. You know, you really think they could make the NFC Championship this year? Why do you have that hope? Why are you drinking the Kool-Aid? National people, Mark Schlereth, who we've had on the podcast and on the show, who is a notorious Cowboy hater. He loves to dunk on the Cowboys. He's even buying in. Why do you think that other people nationally and fans that are still doubting should maybe say, okay, this could actually be a year where something special happens?
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I think ultimately it comes back to the most important thing in professional football, and that's the quarterback. And you used the national media, and I think that that's relevant here because I think, and I'm curious if you agree, we've experienced this breakthrough that we really never have at any point in our lives in the internet age. You know, we all fought the good fight for Tony Romo, and nobody ever really picked that up nationally. You know, there are people occasionally, but he really, I think, caught the brunt of the internet's launch and the meme that the Cowboys are just kind of absorbed Tony Romo into it forever. And obviously, you know, when Dak Prescott's career began, I think it was very, very similar. But I do think we've had this breakthrough where it is nationally recognized for the most part. You still got Yahoo's obviously around every corner that Dak Prescott is among the very best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so you have that, and everything kind of trickles down from that, right? You've got CeeDee Lamb, you've got George Pickens, the franchise tag has been signed. So the one thing, the one black cloud that has hung over the franchise for the last few years, the contract drama, et cetera, et cetera. I know people feel different ways about the Pickens stuff, but that's been nipped in the bud. And now you've got this defense. And I think the real answer to your question is, everybody has this same thought, which is if the defense can just not be the literal worst sure. in franchise history, then the offense can carry it. And I think that that's why. And like the question is, can they make the NFC Championship game? You got to be one of two teams out of 16. And the statistical improbability that they wouldn't do that for 30 years is astounding. And we've all discussed that, but I don't see you didn't mention the Eagles in your NFC contenders list, but it does help that they're experiencing their own drama, internal drama, whatever. We'll see if maybe this time next week AJ Brown has been traded somewhere. Right. But yeah, I mean, like, Dak is what, the second best quarterback in the conference? CD is the second best wide receiver in the conference. I mean, and now they have a defense that is up to par. I mean, and they're playing against a division that features teams who are kind of lost or taking steps backwards. Yeah, I mean, it totally sets up. The only thing, and I apologize for being long-winded, is they have not had the playoff run work their way. They've just been snake bitten. They've drawn Aaron Rodgers or Kyle Shanahan, and I believe you earn your one seed. You earn your path, but they have not had the Daniel Jones Giants in the divisional round the way that the Eagles did, you know, and then the non-quarterback 49ers in the NFC Championship game. Like, they have just not had fate smile upon them in those ways. They have simply just drawn the Dragons in the monsters. And so maybe it works out to where they're the one or two seed and they host the crummy Falcons or something like that. And that's the recipe, obviously, for them finally getting back.
You mentioned the AJ Brown possibly, you know, that we think that that's going to happen post June 1. He gets traded to New England or regardless is not going to be on the Eagles. Josh Sweat is a player that's now in the news. Arizona looking to make they're getting calls for him. Arizona seems like a team that is. We talk about the Cowboys now finally showing like we want to win a Super Bowl. Arizona's in rebuild mode. Arizona's like, Jacoby Brissett, hey, you don't want to show up? Go for it. That's fine. We'll start Carson Beck. You know what? We'll take our L's. Josh Sweat's a name that I actually heard kind of some whispers about a few months ago. And I do wonder if there was some chatter inside the Star about, like, is that a name that we could consider trading for? What do you think about the possibilities of trying to go and get a player along the edge like Josh Sweat, or even other moves post-June 1 that make sense to you that you think the Cowboys need to try and make to get over that hump to be even better suited for a possible contending type run?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly am not saying no to Josh Sweat. I think that this I kind of trust the pass rush, if I'm being honest. Like, that's kind of the level of the defense that I have the least concern about. And I also feel like we don't even really know what it looks like. We have all these ideas and thoughts about Christian Parker and what his defense is going to look like. But so I'm sort of in a situation where I am kind of willing to wait and see and trust that they will, you know, sign their Oxnard guy, and, you know, whether it's Clowney or somebody of a similar ilk, you know, kind of wait and see what they have and build once they're in the air a little bit. So I would not give up anything substantial for Josh Sweat at this point in time, particularly because the 2027 draft capital has already been dipped into. And because that draft is obviously regarded the way that it is, I certainly wouldn't give up anything on a premium level. But I'm someone who is not afraid to criticize this team. And I really feel like they are kind of set. Like, I'm kind of okay if they just sit and park until they get to California.
Okay. All right. And now, overreactions to the offseason, RJ. This is something where I know we've talked a bit about Christian Parker. We're excited, right? Christian Parker's never called a defense before. Caleb Downs, I mean, I've anointed him. I think he's going to be an absolute star, but he hasn't really played a snap in the NFL yet, right? Do you think that are there any elements of concern, assuming the offense is just going to go ahead and carry over the success from last year? Is there anything that you think, all right, maybe we need to tap the brakes a little bit, and it's off season, it's hopium mode, but this might not work out as well as we think that it will.
For me, it's the last thing you said, and it's the offense, because, I mean, we just said it 10 minutes ago, but there is this thought of, like, oh, if the defense is just, you know, even like the 23rd best defense in the NFL, the offense will carry it. Like, dude, there's regression to the mean all the time. And you know, I don't think they'll be as good. It is statistically improbable that they would be as good. Now, I did not think, on the other side of the coin, after the 21 season, when Trayvon Diggs had all the interceptions, and after Micah's rookie year, I said there's no way that they're going to get as many turnovers in 22 as they did in 21. It's impossible. Like, it just doesn't happen in the NFL. There's always regression in this capacity, and that was wrong. So maybe they are the exception to that rule. But I think that the defense will certainly be improved. The defense will certainly be better. But the offense is probably my main concern. Although main sounds big, but that's the thing I have the most concern about. Dak has missed some time at some points, if we're being honest. Like, you have to allot for that possibility. And then if I'm really, like, you know, doing spring cleaning and saying, like, okay, what am I truly, truly, truly worried about? What could cause any level of concern? Brant Aubrey had a little bit of a shaky end to the season. I mean, I know they paid him, and I know we're happy, and I think that was the right decision. But, I mean, what if that was truly, like, the tug of that thread? And what if it wasn't just a one-off thing? What if everything that, you know, I think people make this mistake of always thinking, like, the things that I want to stay the same will certainly stay the same, and the things that I want to be better will improve, and so everything will work out. And it's just, everything is constantly moving in a number of different directions.
All right. You are listening to Love of the Star. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.